This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's your boy, Jason McIntyre. This is Straight Fire for Wednesday, November 10th. A great, great. Can I go phenomenal? Can I say college basketball's opening night on Tuesday was phenomenal? I love college basketball. You guys, my friends know this. Guys who talk to me online know this. If you're just a listener of the podcast and you don't really know me, I'm a college basketball junkie. However, I do know that nobody really cares about college basketball, so I'm not really allowed to talk about it, no matter how good Duke Kentucky was. And holy hell, is Duke loaded this year. But, we've got NFL matters to attend to, as well as a phenomenal guest. So I'm not going to prattle on for too long this morning, because our guest is a guy backed by popular demand. He's in the middle of the World Series of Poker, David Baker, and he was able, on his one off day, he was willing to jump on the podcast. I mean, that speaks a little bit to the strength of this podcast and the power of it, subscribe rate and review, but as well to David Baker's dedication to be a man of the people. He talks about the World Series of Poker, how he's doing in it. Pretty damn good. This guy's sharp as hell. And of course, NFL Week 10 and beyond. He is the guy who won the Super Contest last year and finished second in Circa. He's basically living the dream. The guy's like playing golf and poker every day. That's his job. That's what he does right now. And I was telling my kids about this, and they were like, oh, that sounds like fun. Yeah, that's not a bad job. So David Baker, some really good stuff. We agree on some games for Week 10, not one, but some. We'll get to that shortly. A couple of items to touch on first. I just have to say, one of the craziest stories I saw in college football is that Deion Sanders, yes, that guy, primetime, is interviewing for the TCU head football job. And it's interesting because I was like, wait, Deion's coached college football, Jackson State, for 2 years. He knows nothing about running a big-time Division I program, and he's getting a look at TCU. That, to me, is fascinating, and I don't know if he's going to get the job, but I'll tell you this. The wattage that Deion Sanders will bring to TCU, replacing Gary Patterson, and on name alone, he's going to be able to get some big guys. I don't know if he can coach. I don't know if he can build a staff, but a lot of this, you know, this generation probably knows Deion Sanders as, oh yeah, that's a guy who played baseball and was a rapper and was really, really good at football. You know, he's famous with the young people. It's primetime. It's Deion Sanders, a legendary trash talker. I didn't have a great experience with him interviewing him, hung up on me after about three questions. But that's the ego that you have with Deion Sanders. If he gets the TCU job, though, you know, that's probably going to really enhance that program. Obviously, they'll never get on the level of Texas or A&M, but in a state with as good of high school football as there is, he's going to get some awesome players, and that's a fascinating one to watch. The other one to watch is, of course, in the NFL, Odell Beckham. And yes, I will get to Aaron Rodgers in a sec. Odell Beckham cleared waivers, and now he can go anywhere. And of course, he's got his minions out there. Odell Beckham would love to play for Green Bay. Yeah, well, we heard that here on this podcast last week. Odell Beckham would love to play here, there, everywhere. And the funniest one I found was the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots, the team that was able to secure Randy Moss to turn his career around, they could do the same thing for Odell Beckham, right? Yeah, because, you know, when Randy Moss came to New England, he had won nothing. And Tom Brady had won a lot. Bill Belichick had won a lot. And Randy Moss had no choice but to fall in line. Bro, this is your last chance. Do you want to win anything? Do you want to be anything? Do you want to be a flameout in Minnesota and Oakland? I think the story in Minnesota was he went to some dinner and like threw trays at somebody or something. I probably should look it up without talking off the cuff, but he was like a jerk to people and they just were like, get out of here, dude. He turned his career around in New England. Can Odell do that? Well, I don't know why on earth Bill Belichick would bring in Odell Beckham to work with a rookie quarterback. You don't think Odell's going to try to steamroll that guy? Mac Jones, who barely throws down the field now anyway? That is a horrible fit. Unequivocally, that would be terrible. There's zero chance that I think that happens or works. It doesn't make any sense. I know they need receivers, but you don't need that type of receiver. It works when you've got Tom Brady, an awesome quarterback, and Bill Belichick, an awesome coach, who are powerful, and they could tell Odell, dude, sit down, get out of here, do this, do that. Like, Odell will listen. They've accomplished stuff. Mac Jones has won nothing. There's no way he's going to boss around Odell, but it just doesn't work like that. I still think that Kansas City eventually gets in the mix, and yes, I do believe the Packers are, if not number one, they got to be number two, right? But I do want to wrap up before we get to David Baker quickly with Aaron Rodgers, who did a bit of a mea culpa. He went on the radio show against Pat McAfee, former punter, who I guess Aaron Rodgers feels some kinship with because he's a former player. Pat McAfee, the last time I saw that guy, he was on game day, and I see this guy like off on a boat, just like jump off into the water. I was doing the radio show Saturday morning, and they had on game day in the studio, and I see this guy jump off a boat into the water. I'm like, who is this buffoon? What is this guy doing? And I'm like, oh, that's Pat McAfee. This is his shtick. I was like, oh, okay, got it. I don't listen to Pat McAfee's show. I don't follow him on social media. I'm sure he's influential. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going on his radio show, but Aaron Rodgers is going on there for a reason. He's not going to get grilled by Pat McAfee. Softball after softball. So Rodgers says some of the comments that people might have felt were misleading. To anybody who felt misled, I take full responsibility. So it was like one of those half-ass apologies, which is fine. I don't care. I don't think he needed to apologize. I'm sure he was doing it to pander to State Farm and all these sponsors that he's got. And it's like, well, you know, you got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar coming after you on a post that went viral. You got the New York Times bashing you. Like, can you just say something a little bit nice to appease everyone? And I think that's kind of what happened there. But I did thought, I think the funniest comment Rodgers made was, I'm not a flat earther or anything like that. Totally hated being compared to Kyrie Irving, which is what happened. And I think the biggest takeaway is that Aaron Rodgers has massive rabbit ears. We knew this for a while. Anybody who's super critical of him online, he blocks him instantly, which is fine. I block a lot of people. But, I mean, I'm blocking people because I don't need to wake up and see people in my mentions saying, F you, you suck. There's no value in that for me. You could say the same for Aaron Rodgers. But I'm a guy who goes on TV and has a podcast and writes for FoxSports.com. I would say I'm a little bit different than Aaron Rodgers, who is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the sport. Makes, I don't know, $30-odd million a year. Like, it's just weird. I didn't think he'd spend that much time on social media, but here we are. He's got the rabbit ears, and clearly some of it affected him. That's why he went back on Pat McAfee's show. And it sounds like he's about 80-20 that he'll be able to start against the Seahawks. That's not one of the games we touch on with David Baker. And without further ado, let's get to him. David Baker, who you should definitely follow on social media, and he may win the World Series of Poker.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome back to Straight Fire. Basically by popular demand. He was such a big winner last time. I had a lot of buddies who were like, man, that guy Baker, he knows his stuff. Let's bring him back. The World Series of Poker superstar, the NFL gambling guru. I mean, do you have any other nicknames, David, or no?
I don't know. I like those, though.
yeah, listen, we tried to get David last week, and he's like, listen, I'm in the middle of the World Series of Poker. I was like, oh, okay. And he's still now in it. Obviously, he's a great poker player. I don't know how much you can reveal about the World Series of Poker, how much you can say or how you're doing. Do you want to talk about that to start? Yeah.
So the World Series of Poker actually is a series of about 80 tournaments that run for 2 months. And then there's the main event, which is what everybody sees on ESPN. Yeah. This year it's moved to CBS. But that's the one big tournament. It's $10,000, no limit. That's the one that people fly in for. That's the one you see. That's the one that makes you immortal in the poker world. You know, it's the big daddy. And we're in the middle of that. So I played day one yesterday, and it's basically to survive. You gotta last like 10 days. I think Yeah. So I played yesterday, day one. And today was the day off because there's so many people that can't do all the day ones at one time. We're going to end with probably about six to 7,000 people, somewhere around like 6,500 people. Yeah. So so I survived day one. And so I have a day off today. And tomorrow will be day two for me. And then if I survive that, everybody who's left will come back and play day three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. So,
is it, listen, a lot of people watch the movie Rounders. They think they can enter poker tournaments. So is your day one like, hey, I'm just going to play close to the vest, nothing too crazy, and just so I can survive in advance, kind of like in NFL survivor pools. I don't know if you do that. I'm not going to make any crazy moves early. Just take the layups, and then we'll worry about strategy later down the road.
Yeah, so there's multiple ways to approach it. You know, and that's kind of the thing. Some pros go out, and they want to just – take a very high variance style, and they want to try to push the amateurs around and try to build a big stack. Because if you get a big stack, then you can, you know, you can really, you know, apply pressure throughout the tournament. And then there's other players who are like, you know, I'm going to play this one close to the vest. You know, it's all about survival. And just like you said with the survivor pool, it's very similar. You know, you can take the 14 point favorites the first few weeks and just kind of, most likely, unless you get super unlucky, you're going to be around, you know, at the midway point, or you could take a shot and say, you know what, I'm going to take a 3-point favorite that nobody else is on. So if the two 14 point favorites lose this week, you know, I'll be in the catbird seat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've kind of said, like, with these sports betting contests, they're very similar to the World Series. You know, there's, you know, the one that we won last year was like 1300 people in the first, and the other one we came in second was 3,300, I think, people. And, you know, there's pros, there's amateurs, there's everybody in between. And, you know, if you run hot at the right time, you can, you know, amateurs have gotten deep in the World Series many times. You know, people have come from nowhere to become World Series champions. And that's kind of what we did last year with the sports pool. You know, we just kind of came from nowhere. And sometimes it's lucky and people, you know, it's amateurs that just had the run of a lifetime. And sometimes it's, you know, hidden people who like they're hidden talented that, you know, they just really never played professionally and they never did it professionally.
So I'm assuming you're at the stage in your career where somebody's staking you, or do you just not even need that because you're so immensely wealthy?
Well, I am not immensely wealthy, but I do put in my own buy-ins. You know, some people stake, but when you stake, you know, you're giving up. Normal staking deals in the poker world are, you know, you put up 100% of my buy-ins, and then we split whatever I win. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's what they call makeup. So let's say you're going to be my backer and you're going to, you know, we're going to have $500,000 worth of, you know, tournaments throughout the year. I have to repay that $500,000 first, and then we chop up any profit. But if you're a profitable player, you know, I've always kind of liked to deal with my own business, and that way I can keep all my profit. Yeah. So it's kind of a dual-edged sword because there is a lot of variance in poker tournaments. So there are a lot of times where you can have losing years. I mean, the best players have losing years. I'm kind of type person who likes to embrace variance a little bit. So I have confidence in myself and my long-term ability to be profitable. So
same year with the NFL. It's been an up and down year. One quick other question. I am curious, are you a routine guy? Do you have this, you know, Tuesday being your off day at the World Series, do you like get a massage? Are you going to play golf? What are you doing to keep your mind off the tournament and stay fresh?
Well, you know, I've basically been playing nonstop for the last like 5 weeks because they've had all these other events. So today's really the first day I took off. I was supposed to play golf this morning and I woke up and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to veg today. And so I've just been hanging out with my buddies and my wife and we're going to go have a nice dinner. And really, this is like the first day I've given myself off. Every day I either play golf or play poker or usually do both. A lot of times, you know, the tournaments that I play will start at like 3 p.m. So I'll get up, we'll play golf in the morning, and then I'll play a tournament from 3 p.m. till 3 p.m, come back. It's been, you know, I'm tired. I'm ready for this to be done, but
I'm assuming no alcohol, right?
I mean, I drink when we go out to dinners and stuff, or, okay, you know, but I don't drink on the golf course, and I don't really drink when I play. I had a beer, yeah, you know, last level of the night last night with, the great thing about the main event is, like a lot of these other tournaments that the World Series has throughout the month is kind of pro infested, mostly pros with occasional amateurs. The World Series main event with, you know, 6,000-7,000 people, you know, most of those people are amateurs, you know, they're taking their shot, their dream, you know, to play in the World Series of Poker. They've all seen it on TV and want to be a part of it. And it really is just a great atmosphere. So, you know, I'm kind of more than in a normal tournament. I'm kind of like, you know, I don't really like to say it, but like, quote unquote, a celebrity in like the poker world. And so like, they all want to talk and they all want to know about like, you know, biggest wins and, you know, when you won tournaments and just, you know,
why
did you
play
that
table
hand? And
during, yeah, the this whole is time. While you're playing poker?
Yeah. I mean, we sat together. I mean, I sat with, you know, 8 other individuals yesterday. I only knew a couple of them. And, you know, we just talked for 8 hours, you know, learned about one guy who came in from St. Louis and he's got 5 boys and a wife, and he played a $2,000 tournament to win his $10,000 entry, and he played, and you know, it's just like stories like that. The guy, a guy next to me, I didn't even recognize him. Like, he was an amateur guy and he made a deep run last year and came in 14th, and you know, he was back to try it again. And
you knocked both those guys out, right?
No. But I mean, I won some chips from him, you know, the thing about the main event is it's the thing that makes it different than all other poker tournaments is it's very, very slow. So, you know, for our listeners out there who play poker tournaments, you know, they go down to the local casino and, you know, every 30 minutes, the blinds increase, which means, so, you know, let's say you start with 20,000 chips and then you play 30 minutes and you have to post, you know, $200 blind every time. And then the next 30 minutes is 300. The next one is 400, then yeah, 600. By the time you get to the end of, you know, 6 or 8 hours, you know, the blinds are like 2000 or something. So yeah, it goes a lot faster. You have to make a lot more moves. This one, it's 2 hours, every blind increase. Oh. So you, it's really, it's a marathon. It's all it's all about having patience. In 2010, I finished 17th, and in 2012, I finished like 50th. And, neither one of those years did I ever really have a big stack. I just kind of survived.
sounds like life.
Yeah. I mean, really it basically is like life. I mean, surviving the poker tournament's kind of like surviving life. You know, you're going to have a lot of things thrown at you. You got to dodge a lot of bad beats. You're going to have a lot of like rare occurrences that could or could not happen to you or your friends, or, and you just got to stay alive to the end. And really that's all it is. And,
That's
so
cool, man.
It's fun. And, you know, there's a whole like subculture of poker that, if you're not in it, you might not have known it, but I think it's a big crossover probably between the sports world and poker in some way, shape or form, because, you know, the gambling aspect, the games, the figuring things out. But there's like a whole, you know, there's a poker, reporting. You can just go to like pokernews.com and you can follow the World Series or World Series of Poker, WSOP.com, and follow it. And there's reporters that walk around, write down the hands and keep track of the counts and all that stuff. So
it's like a cottage industry, right?
Yeah. I mean, cool. It's a cool thing. And, you know, there's a lot of crossover between sports and, you know, that's kind of a lot of how I found out about like these contests and really got like super involved in them, was, you know, just from people in the poker industry that, you know, do it too. And
All right, let's get to the NFL. So it's a perfect time to talk to you because, you know, basically week 9 was the wildest week of the season. I think you had 10 underdogs either cover the spread or win. You had the biggest upset with the Bills going down, took down a lot of people in Survivor. The Saints went down as big favorites. The Rams went down as big favorites, and the Cowboys as well. So I am curious, how did you do in the contest last week? I was at 2-3, and it was frustrating because some of the beats, oh my, Carolina, I felt great about, David. The turnovers are what's killing me this season. You can't anticipate turnovers. There's no model for turnovers. And I feel like every week the turnovers are killing me. Darnold with the 88-yard pick six and then the end zone interception. Like, I don't know. I'd probably bet Carolina again, but at any rate, go ahead.
Well, I'll try to take these next few minutes we have to talk you out of Carolina because they're not good. That is not
no,
a good
no. I'm done
right
with
now.
Him. I don't know if you saw good, Sam Darnold news.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
I'm off Carolina. We had Patriots last week. That was one of the plays we liked, but we went 3-2 in Circa and 2-3 in Westgate. We were doing really well in Westgate, and so we kind of felt like Kyler wasn't going to play, and we kind of forced in San Francisco because it was like they were getting 1.5. We knew that the line would probably go up to 4 or 5 by game time, and it was kind of too good a spot not to take. But my partner and I, neither one of us really liked the game. We kind of forced that one in, but we managed to dodge it in Circa. We hit a lot of games last week, but we didn't play, you know, we were all in on Cincinnati and Buffalo, and those killed us. So, I mean, I know you were on Cleveland. That was a good call.
Lucky. I mean, it felt good, but David, every week when I see you after, you know, you say you went 4-1, I see the picks. I'm like, he seems to nail every layup, like the 30-7 games for whatever reason, you're sniffing all of those out every week. And I don't know. How are you doing? That's the one thing I feel like every week it's like a massive sweat. It's 3:55 at the end of the 1 o'clock games, and it's like three games hanging in the balance. And that's just frustrating, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think over the last year and a half, I've had a really good feel of just how these teams have evolved. And one thing that I've really tried to do and I think has been successful for the last 2 years that I never did before was just not being – so stubborn in my opinions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are many seasons within the season, you know, for these teams, and you've got to kind of pick up when teams are kind of going through their little phases. And also, you know, believe in your eyes, believe in yourself. Like that's one thing that I've really done that a lot of people haven't done is, you know, they look at the line movement, they look at the, you know, where, who's, how many, how much money is coming in on a team and things like that. And a lot of that stuff is just smoke and mirrors. I mean, everybody wants to try to say like, oh, well, the money's coming in on this team, so Vegas doesn't want them to win. They're going to cheat and do that. And it's like a lot of that stuff is just, it's all noise. You've just got to fade the noise, really.
That's tough because last week I loved Miami, David. And then it's Tyrod Taylor's in. And Tua might be out. And the line comes crashing down. Every pro and their mom had Houston. And I got scared off Miami, so I didn't take them. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it, like, if you look at the numbers, you'll see that every week the sharp players are pounding Philly. And they're pounding the Colts. Those are two teams that you'll always see the lines are moving against them. So whatever the Philly line opens at, it almost always closes a point or two worse for them because for some reason, the sharp guys, and there's probably just like a few sharp networks that they really just feel like this Philadelphia team is better than they really are. And I think the Colts too. And you'll find that, like, I mean, I believe my eyes and I don't think this Philly team is very good. There are times where you can play them. I mean, I thought they were a great buy at the Lions a couple weeks ago.
That was a great hit.
but when they're playing good teams, they're just that's not the type of team that they're going to do well against.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Philadelphia, big gambling state, right? And Indiana, big gambling state. Do you think because it's legal in those two states that maybe they're getting hit harder than some teams in other states where gambling's not legal? I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff up out there.
I mean, it's possible, but I really think that there are just a few syndicates that that kind of run the line movements. And here's like the dirty little secret of gambling and line movements. And so a lot of times what happens is as the week goes on, you can bet more and more on a game. So they don't allow you to bet like maximum on Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So a lot of times what will happen is some of these big time gamblers, they'll fire one side and then the books will overreact and they'll move the game several points. And so let's say that their limit on Monday and Tuesday is 5,000. So they'll put 5,000 in, and then they'll have the buddy who they're also tracking put in 5,000. Then their buddy will put another 5,000. Then they'll increase it to 10,000 on Wednesday. They'll do the same thing. Then they'll increase it to 500,000 day a game, and they'll fire it all on the other side.
Other side, yeah.
So all they're doing is manipulating the game. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at it early in the week and you're like, oh, the public's just big on Philly or whatever, it's like a lot of times that's just market manipulation. Mm-hmm. So just try to fade the noise and really just trust in yourself. I mean, if you're a football person, find people that you believe in that view the game similar to you, listen and read what they have to say, but also trust your own eyes. I mean, everybody can't do that because like everybody doesn't have the time to sit there and watch every game. But if you really feel like you have a good feel for the sport, I mean, I personally would just rather win and lose with my own opinions.
Agreed. I mean, yeah.
when we got to the end of the contest last year, I know people in the gambling industry. I'm not big in the sports gambling industry, but I do know people who are. And, you know, they would come to me and be like, look, I can tell you what the sharp money is going to go on and who the play is. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to win or lose this based on what my eyes tell me.
Yeah. So, for week 10, look at Philadelphia, Denver. I don't know if you have it in front of you, but Denver opened as 1.5-point favorite at home. It's now up to 3 at the influential book Circa, right?
Yeah.
And it's early in the week, dummy money. And you know that, like you said, the syndicates are going to love Philadelphia if they can get the 3 on the full field goal on the road. Teddy Bridgewater, great as a dog, but now as a favorite. And I almost guarantee you Philly will probably close closer to pick, right?
Yeah, I think that'll probably be the case. I think you're right there. I don't really know what to make of this game because I don't really trust either of these offenses. I mean, so it's really what defense is going to get the stop and get the shank punt or the fumble or whatever. I'm probably going to leave this game alone, to be honest. Yeah. You know, I try to play against Philly when I can, but I don't really have any faith in Teddy at all. I mean, I don't have any faith.
Yeah. I pretty much agree with you. Denver's really beat up too. A lot of injuries in that Dallas game. Who do you trust this week? I would throw one at you. Do you trust the Saints rebounding? We know Sean Payton is an underdog off a loss, all those trends. I still think Tennessee's criminally overrated, and even though they take my money every week. It's up to 3. Where are you on that one?
Yeah, see, there's a spot where, you know, I disagree with basically everybody that I listen to and trust. From the beginning of the season, the only thing that I bet before the season started was Tennessee to win the South at -115. It's the only thing that I bet. It was my favorite play. Any podcast, any person that would listen, that's what I touted. And I think Tennessee is good. I don't even think we've seen the best of Tennessee. I mean, well, it's pretty hard to say that. I mean, they just beat Buffalo, Kansas City, the Rams, and the Colts four games in a row. So it's hard to say we haven't seen the best of them. They've looked really impressive. But we haven't even seen this offense at full strength. I mean, Julio and AJ have not been full strength yet. You know, obviously, we don't have Henry anymore, so this team's a little different. But, you know, there are plenty of people that I'm listening to that are just anti-Tennessee. Yeah. And sadly, and you're one of them. And, you know, I agree with a lot of the things that you tweet and that you say on the show and things like that. But I don't really understand the hatred for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I mean, this team is well coached. The quarterback's been around for years. Like, he doesn't make really bad decisions. He might not be, you know, A-plus talent, but he's good. And he makes good decisions. They have 2 big bruising running back. I mean, wide receivers when they're in. Obviously, when they had Henry, they were full strength. I think this line is kind of low. I mean, you're basically just telling me that these 2 teams are equal. And we have a Tennessee team that has beaten, I would say, 3 of the top 5 teams in the NFL in consecutive weeks. And then you mix in a tough road game at the Colts. You know, the Colts are at least a mediocre team. And the Saints, I mean, I like the Saints team. I think they're okay. But, I mean, what are they doing at quarterback this week? What are they doing at wide receiver?
Trevor Siemian, the immortal one. Yeah. Tennessee, though, as a favorite, lost to Arizona in the opener. As a favorite, lost to the Jets outright. They've won these last four as a dog. They did smash Jacksonville. I don't know. It's probably a little Ryan Tannehill history. Like, he just wasn't good for like 5 years in Miami. How has he turned it around? We just don't see that. You know, this is kind of an outlier. Like, think of the last quarterback who was mediocre average. The team punted on him for 5 years. And now he's rebounded and he's like a playoff quarterback every year. That just, you know, I haven't seen that. And it's messed with my head, I think.
I mean, isn't that the Adam Gase effect? I mean, I mean, he was with Gase, right? In Miami.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I'm trying not to be stubborn. And I disliked Tannehill a lot when he was with Miami, and I didn't want to like him when they started there. But look, you got to be willing to change your opinion, just like in anything else. I mean, you know, how would you like to be judged on your first podcast?
I would have hated that.
Yeah, probably not as good as you are today. And to be honest, in 5 years from now, you'll probably be better than you are now. And, you know, that's just kind of how life works. And some people improve and some people don't. And, you know, why should we continually view people at their worst? Mm-hmm. You know, and football is a lot about coaching and who has, you know, like, what if he had a hitch in his delivery and Arthur Smith found it and stopped it? What if he didn't, you know, progress, go through his progressions the same way, and he learned how to do that, you know, a couple of years ago? I mean, just what if? There's so many moving parts in the NFL that it's just kind of stubborn to sit and say this guy is what he is and he's never going to change. I mean, especially at the quarterback position. I mean, some guys are just over athletic or under athletic, but at the quarterback position, I mean, we've seen the most athletic players in the world, and Murray and Wilson and Mahomes, be successful. We've also seen pretty average athletic or unathletic players in Roethlisberger and Brady and Eli Manning and Peyton, like, just stand back there and just use their brain. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to win at quarterback in the NFL. So I'm not going to sit here and just be prisoner of my opinion 5 years ago.
Okay. How about this?
I feel like that's a problem.
Yeah, no, that's 100%. What about the opposite? People saw Justin Herbert crush it last year. And it seems like every week this year, Justin Herbert and the Chargers are taking money. It almost feels like you've got to pay a little bit of a tax if you want to back the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the Chargers early, and I kind of waned off them a little. I was on them last week mainly because I thought the price was too small versus Philly, because I don't really like Philly. But yeah, I don't really know. I think Herbert is good, but he might have been escalated a little too quickly to that echelon where he is. I mean, I don't think he's quite, you know, Dak, Russell Wilson, Brady level, and that people want to put him in those conversations already. I still think Herbert is good. I mean, he's got a good arm. The problem is, like, he doesn't really read as well. Like, I mean, he's kind of just like, look quick at Mike Williams. If he's open, bomb it. If not, just dump it to Eckler or Allen. But I mean, it's fine. I mean, they've got enough athletes. I think the Chargers are okay. I mean, I think the Chargers, they're not Super Bowl contenders yet, but I think they're fine. I mean,
favored against the Vikings this week at home. Vikings off a tough loss. I think they were on the field for 89 plays and have to go across the country.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the Vikings are a team that I've liked this year as well, but I think this line's kind of short. I like the Chargers in this game. I mean, the one thing that you worry about with the Chargers is just the home field advantage, you know, because and I think people are mistaken why the home field advantage is what it is. I mean, people are like, oh, well, people want to travel to LA and you know, leave their cold seat. That's not really why the crowds fill up against them. What it is that LA is just such a transplant city. And when you have, you know, whatever they have, 5, 6, 7, 8 million people in the city, I mean, there are plenty of people that have come that are Vikings fans, and this is the one time that they're ever going to get to see the Vikings again. You know, they moved from there when they were a kid and they've been a Vikings fan forever. So they just buy up the tickets. And so it's not necessarily people coming to visit. You know, I've heard on like Diff podcasts, well, you know, are people really going to travel from Minnesota? It's not really the travelers. I mean, that's why I like the Patriots a few weeks ago in LA, because there's so many Boston people there that, I mean, that was a home game for the Patriots. I don't know what the Minnesota fandom is like, but I think they have a pretty strong fandom. So Yeah. You know, they'll probably fill up the stadium, but I think 2.5 is it's a little short still. You're basically telling me that these Vikings are in the same caliber as, you know, the Browns were a few weeks ago when they were actually good and they had running backs, because that was well, a 2.5 point line there. You know, you're telling me that this team is the same as, I don't even know. It's like some of the other teams that they've played at home, they've been short lines first. And the Vikings really right now, I don't know. I kind of think that the team doesn't – I don't know if the team totally believes in Zimmer. I would be surprised if Zimmer's there in a couple weeks, to be honest. Yeah.
It feels like he's on his way out. But you mentioned Cleveland. I had looked at the Browns. They've taken money this week. But the Nick Chubb news, I don't know. Yeah, between Chubb, Hunt out, another back, Felton got on the COVID list. So
Chubb's out? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he tested positive. Now he has the vax, so there's a small chance he comes back. But Chubb is out. The other kid, Felton, also is out. And Hunt is still hurt.
It's still only like a 1.5 point line. So
I know. Well, that's weird. Like that news did not impact it at all. Weirdly, though, David, the Browns are number one in net yards per play in the league. Like the advanced stats love the Browns. DVOA, all those. They're all over Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm most likely going to be on the Pats this week, so you can take those numbers and do what you want with them.
Patriots, huh? I mean, Mac Jones against this defense. This defense is eating some quarterbacks alive.
Well, this is just, I mean, these teams are kind of mirror images of each other. I mean, they both run the ball, they both play good defense, they both have quarterbacks you're going to try to protect. I just really don't trust Baker. I mean, say what you will about Odell, and he's a head case a little bit, and he's not peak Odell, but I mean, that video is pretty damning that his dad put together. I mean, if you watch those 11 minutes, I mean, Baker missed him a lot. I mean, the Browns crushed the Bengals, and I was wrong on that. But, I mean, they Cincinnati drove the ball down their throat to start the game and then throw a 98-yard pick. And then there's, you know, I mean, if they're going to have a 98-yard pick for a touchdown, if Chubb's going to break one for 70 yards, and if Donovan Peoples-Jones is going to get behind the defense and Mayfield finds him for another 70-yard, you're probably going to lose. I mean, that's the variance of the NFL. I just trust Belichick to – this defense is really scheming well. I don't trust Baker. I think Bill really makes quarterbacks who are willing to make mistakes. I think he exploits those. It's in New England. This is going to be a game I'm most likely going to be on. I mean, I don't make any proclamations this early in the week. And also I have to discuss, you know, my partner and I, we go, you know, we each have a say. If he loves Cleveland, then we just probably won't play the game. But I can say like my early lean is the Patriots in this game. I just think they're a better team right now. And this is not, it's not a team that I really thought at the beginning of the year was going to be where they are. But, I mean, their losses are, you know, at the end of the game to the Bucs, the end of the game to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, they just throttled the last few teams they've played. I mean, the Chargers, the Panthers on the road. I think this team's pretty good.
One knock on the Patriots is they have the quarterbacks they've beaten are quite bad. They beat Zach Wilson, my guy with the Jets, Davis Mills, the immortal combo of Mike White and Josh Johnson, and then Sam Darnold. The other guy they beat was Herbert. But I don't know where that, I guess a lot of that means, is Baker closer to that group, a middle of the pack, or is he, you know, a top 12, 15 quarterback? But Patriots have kind of feasted on some bad teams, bad quarterbacks, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, nothing you said is inaccurate, but also the teams that they've lost to have been Brady by a field goal in the rain that
covered,
which probably not a wise coaching decision to even kick that field goal. Dallas, I mean, we all saw the end of that. That's Dak. I mean, we're just going to hold them, you know, like why, like, and then the Dolphin game, obviously the Dolphins are complete trash anyway, but that was a very fluky game as is. But I mean,
well, the only other one was
we're
going to
penalize them for winning five. They lost to the Saints. The Saints,
but you're right. They're winning convincingly, which is what you need to do against bad
teams. And the good teams they're losing close. I mean, really, the only bad loss they have is the Saints.
Yeah, and that wasn't even that bad because the Saints were kind of good at the time. All right, just two more quick ones. So where are you on, like, look-ahead line stuff? The Chiefs look-ahead against the Raiders, or maybe it wasn't look-ahead, but a couple weeks ago or whenever they released them early, they were 7.5. It's now Chiefs 2.5 in Vegas for, I think that's Sunday Night Football, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are not the Chiefs we all know and have loved. But I will tell you that when I looked at the lines, that was the one that I just kind of gasped. I'm just praying that it stays at 2.5 when by the time Circa and Superbook release the contest lines, because I will be all in on the Chiefs. I do not respect the Raiders. One of my favorite plays last week was the Giants. I mean, there's a lot going on with this team. Not only that, but Andy Reid has destroyed the Raiders in the last few years. Now, granted, it's not the same team, but I just, you know, a division game. It's not like we're dealing with Gruden here with the Raiders too, that has seen this Chiefs team. I mean, it's a new coaching staff. It's, you know, all the distractions of the horrible tragedy of Ruggs. And I mean, the Chiefs aren't great by any means, but it's 2.5. I mean, it's still Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey and Andy Reid. And I mean, I can't wait to push the Chiefs this week.
If that's not your favorite, what about Dallas, Atlanta? It feels, I know 9 seems like a big number, but if Atlanta doesn't put away Trevor Siemian and Dallas doesn't get skunked by Denver, you've got to think this is probably opens on the other side of 10, right? Because Dallas was a covering machine, looking great. Atlanta's headed probably back to the, you know, the top 10 in the draft. This has to be Dallas, right?
Yeah. So my only preseason play was the Titans to win the South. And I told you earlier, my only in-season big future that I bet was the Cowboys at 9-1 to win the NFC about 4 weeks ago. I'm all in on the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are as good as anyone, and I'm just going to throw out this game against Denver. I think this matchup versus the Falcons is just what the doctor ordered for Dallas. This is the kind of team that they throttle. The Atlanta does not have a good pass defense. There's not many weapons on Atlanta. I think this is just Roll City. I love the Cowboys this week.
Yeah. Well, I was able to stuff out a couple picks you like, at least. That's good. One last question on the 49ers, who are a total dumpster fire.
Yes.
And this Shanahan stuff is gotten crazy. They can't win at home. I'm with you. I just dislike them at all. Yet here we are, and the Rams are favored by 4 on the road. Shanahan versus McVay feels like a kitchen sink game for the Niners to save the season, save his job, all that stuff. Do you buy into that nonsense or no?
I'm done with this team. I'm done. I'm done with this team. I probably shouldn't even pick it, because I'm like, every time I pick either side of them, they do the exact opposite. But this team stinks. I mean, I didn't really like them at the beginning of the season. Then I kind of bought in, and then I went out, and then I went in. I mean, the Rams, this was a good wake-up call for them. This Tennessee team whooped them. That's another game I like. Yeah. I like the Rams. I think the Niners stink, and I think the Rams will throttle them as well.
I like how you just phrased it, wake-up call. It almost felt like a wake-up weekend, right? Dallas, hey,
really
wake
was.
Up, snap out of it. Buffalo Bills, so, like, what's going on?
So this is something that I noticed. So early, about 3-4 weeks ago, all the favorites were covering and they were bumping the lines up and you were having to lay big numbers. And I started to come back a little bit on the dogs, and the dogs have really been successful the last couple of weeks. And when I look at the lines this week, they feel a little short to me in many areas. You know, several of the games we've talked about, I've been on the side of the favorites. I think the NFL kind of came back to a little parity spot, and they brought the lines down. And now I think you're going to be able to get some value on the favorites. So I will probably, you know, if you look at my cards that come this weekend, you'll probably see me leaning more towards the favorites. I think there are some really good spots for the favorites this week. And after 2 weeks of getting pummeled by the dogs, just pummeling it, I think, you know, the public's more gonna, you know, they're like, hey, anybody can win. And I think it's going to kind of come back. I think we're going to see some of these good teams really step it up. And, you know, you don't really find too often where like the better team is at home laying a small number. I mean, some of the games that we've talked about, I mean, the Chargers, like, I think they're better than the Vikings and they're laying a small number and they're at home. The same with the Patriots and the Browns. You know, I feel like there are some really short lines that I'm gonna take advantage of this week, and we'll see what happens. Obviously, yeah. It's the NFL, and anything can happen. You look like a genius one week and an idiot the next, but yeah. I'm excited for this week's slate. I think there are some really intriguing games, and you know, I normally don't have strong opinions on Tuesdays, so
yeah.
We'll kind of see how those play out, but I'm liking what I see, and I'm happy that I at least have some really strong opinions this early. Means I'm probably going to like the week.
Yeah, I'm with you. David Baker, World Series of Poker star. I mean, if you win this thing, that'll be crazy. World Series of So the highest you finished was 10th, huh?
I finished 17th in that one, in the 17th. Main event. But I mean, I've won a couple of the smaller tournaments. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah. It sounds like you are living the dream. Like, a lot of guys will listen to this and be like, oh my gosh, this guy's playing golf every day and he's playing in poker tournaments. Holy cow. Like, yeah, awesome.
That's what people, when anybody asks me how I'm doing, I always go, living the dream.
So, happens? So after the World Series of Poker, you're not going to a 9-to-5. You're probably jetting off to an island, maybe a Hawaii trip with the wife.
No, I'm just going to come on and do shows with you.
All right, David. Thanks a lot, man. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. And, you know, if you want to follow, I release picks on Twitter, AU David B. I went to Auburn University, so that's what that is, Auburn University David B. And I usually send out picks, like, after they close the contest, because I don't really want people tailing them in the contest. But,
yeah.
I send out, I'm 100% transparent, and, you know, I don't, like, charge for anything. I just do it kind of for fun and, you know, pride and all that, so... you know, give me a follow on there. And, if you want to follow World Series of Poker, you can do it on WSOP.com or pokernews.com. And, hopefully we'll have some more fun things to talk about in a few weeks. Maybe you'll have me back on.
All right, David. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Jason.